Today's gospel lesson comes to us from the 15th chapter of the gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Yeah, I mean, someone else does that, and then, you know, the guy had to go to seminary for several years. Oh, yeah, then you get this reading. It's one of our few breaks, what can I say? This again, falls right in the middle of the farewell discourse, the upper room discourse. Jesus washed their feet. He did the Lord's Supper. He gave them the command to love one another. And he's introducing them the concept of the Spirit that is going to come and not leave them abandoned or orphaned, this advocate that is to come. And this is what he continues in saying. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify in my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Yes, another one of those great John passages. You know, maybe eventually I'll want to get around to it. But then again, people might accuse me of procrastinating. You know, there are some people who complain that I'm a procrastinator. One of them might have married me. But I have to keep reminding her that I'm not a procrastinator. I don't get paid for it. I'm just an amateur procrastinator. Now, because of that, I've decided to try to seek some help, and so I'm joining this group. It's a procrastination group. It's called Weight Watchers. They have an annual retreat at Mount Rushmore. And I've been meaning to tell you this, but please remember, March is Procrastination Awareness Month. But then I'll get around to that. We procrastinate, don't we? Many of us in different ways and different things. There are things we don't want to do. Things we'll get to eventually. Procrastination happens. It's amazing how that happens. And today, since a bunch of you are wearing red and, you know, in honor of Pentecost, it's appropriate for me to sing this. Tomorrow, tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. I know you don't might have the red hair, except for a couple of you, but there we go. There's always tomorrow. And how often is tomorrow, whenever that comes, the time when we go, you know, I should share my faith with someone? Because how many of us do that? How many of us have that up on our list? Or is that one of those things, eventually I'll get around to it. It's amazing what we'll do to give ourselves reasons not to. Things that we'll say to ourselves that we can't do it. You know, for example, it has to only happen in certain ways, in certain places, at certain times. It's a special thing. The thing is, though, it reminds me of the story of the man going through his wife's closet with his sister-in-law, and his sister-in-law pulls out this really nice, pretty dress, and he goes, well, it makes sense, because she was saving it for a special occasion, and they were picking out what clothes to bury her in. How often do we just kind of do things where we're just kind of like, well, we're waiting for that special occasion, that right moment, that thing to just happen, you know? And for some strange reason, it doesn't come. And we deal with that. It's kind of like the inverse of sometimes I hear people say in church, you know, you can't use those words in church. And then they go out to the parking lot and use the words. Well, are there words that you only use in church? Things you will only say in here that you won't share out there? You know? Is it because this is just the special place? It's Christmas, it's Easter, you know, faith. And we wonder sometimes why we struggle with things that happen Monday through Saturday, 52 weeks a year. When are we using it? When are we practicing it? When are we trying? When are we even looking? But part of it may be you don't feel that you're qualified. All right? You might not feel qualified. There's a man I met on the island of Guam. His name was Ed. He was a very patriotic young man, very active in civic organizations. When World War II rolled around, he signed up in the military, and he learned how to fly fighter planes for the Air Force. He was shot down over enemy territory. He was held as a POW for several years. Now, of course, Ed was a member of the Hitler Youth because he was a patriotic German in the 30s. And he flew for the Luftwaffe, and he learned how to drop bombs on people. And he was held in a Russian gulag because he was shot down over the Soviet Union. But one of the other things about Ed was, when he was a member of the Hitler Youth, his job was to go around and harass and terrorize pastors and people of faith into towing the party, the Nazi party, line. That was his job. He had very little regard for religious people, very little regard for faith whatsoever, and he got his kicks out of doing that. When he was in that gulag, and it took several years before he was repatriated by the Soviets, one of the people he met was one of the guards, who was an Orthodox priest before the communists took over. And he helped him, and he talked with him, and he cared for him. Ed went back to Germany when he was finally repatriated, went to seminary, and decided that this skill about flying planes needed to be put to different use. He went out to the Pacific Ocean and set up what was known as Pacific Missionary Aviation, where they would fly float planes and other small aircraft to outlying islands, and eventually they even got boats too, where they would take doctors and dentists, and they would do dental and medical checks. They would bring supplies and tools and everything else like that. And yes, they would share the word of God with them, but they showed care for people in their needs where they are, in places that normally did not receive anything because they were out of the way. If you had asked him 15 years before what he thought about that idea, he would have told you you were nuts. And Pacific Nation, he has since passed on. Pacific Missionary is one of the largest organizations in the Pacific Ocean. Sometimes we don't think we're capable or we're qualified. Sometimes we go, well, you know, that's why we have you, Pastor. Just for the record, and some of you know this, some of you, this might shock you, but hopefully not too much. If you asked me 25 years ago, 26 years ago, if I would be standing in a church doing something like this, I would have thought you were crazy. This was not my plan. This was not my idea. I was going to go and teach history in a college. And part of it, you know, and part of the reason why I had no dream of doing this whatsoever had everything to do with the fact that growing up in the 80s, most of my experiences with Christianity was the televangelists and the moral majority and the image of a God who was this angry bearded dude on a cloud who just looked angry at you. And I wanted nothing to do with this. And the thing that got me wasn't the fact that I was in a gulag or anything else like that. No, something quite different. He was born. The turkey was born the day we were going to start classes. So we didn't even leave Guam. Yeah. But in there was an experience of the fact that this God that the image I carried with me was this angry bearded dude on a cloud was the one that came to earth in the form of a baby and entrusted his very life to two very similarly ill-equipped parents. And the proclamation of love and trust and hope that comes through that. We often think that it takes something major, you know, that there needs to be some kind of, you have to go through something traumatic or dramatic, maybe like Ed did. But for so many of us, let's face it, 2,000 years ago, those disciples were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and they went out into the streets with those tongues of flame teaching them not, this was not what we, in the Greek is glossalia, the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. This was tongues of fire that allowed them to speak the languages of the people around them. These simple Galilean, remember, they're mostly like fishermen. And what are they doing? They're out on the streets proclaiming to all of this gathered throng that are there for a harvest festival. And the whole crack about the fact that, well, they're filled with new wine? Big surprise. It's a harvest festival. Everybody out there was probably filled with new wine. And yet, they could go out and speak boldly and share things. Pentecost is often considered the birthday of the church because of that. But do you realize that we continue to celebrate the birthday of the church because you're here? Someone, somewhere, spoke to you, proclaimed to you a word of grace and love, showed you grace and love in such a way that it got you. You could understand it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. It may have been something ongoing and kind of just there. It could have been something major and dramatic. But someone, somewhere, used the gift of the Holy Spirit to reach you with good news, with love, grace, peace, forgiveness, whatever you needed at the time. It came to you. And now you're asked to do it too. To use the gifts and talents, the opportunities and the spaces that you have. The words, the gestures, the kind. Sometimes it could be something major like giving someone 20 seconds of your time and honoring their existence as a human being. It could be a word of peace. It could be just sitting with someone who does otherwise feels alone. It could be a cup of cold water. As Janice shared at Paz Cafe, with her reflection about Paz Cafe, those care recipients, their care partners, realized and saw in tangible ways that they were cared for. They were being loved. Pacific Missionary Aviation, the islanders knew they were being cared for and loved. Someone wasn't just coming and talking to them about it. It's like, hey, we need some more axe heads. Oh, good, I got that. There was something there, and we all have those things. We all have those gifts and talents. We all have those opportunities and spaces. Let your light so shine. That's all it's asked. Yes, if you want to come and wear something dashing like this robe and this stole, we can talk and we can get you off to seminary. But that all of us are here because of someone else. And just, I mean, just to let you know, I mean, one thing, I failed to mention this at 8, I intentionally picked this stole, not just because it was red, but because as a young pastor coming out of seminary with a whole ton of seminary debt, I had two stoles. That was it. And these suckers cost $300-$400 a pop. Okay? And the neighboring church down the road, a pastor who had retired and recently passed away, his widow wanted his tradition of being a servant of the church to be passed on, and so she bestowed the stoles to the bishop who gave them to me. So as another way that I am here today is because of someone else's act of kindness and love and movement of the Spirit. And you all have those opportunities well to share grace in some form. The world needs it. And it comes to you freely. And it comes to you in your baptism. And so I'm going to ask you to remember the promises God gave you in baptism. I haven't done this in a while, so I'm going to jog your memories a little bit. I'm going to invite you to put your hand on your head and repeat after me. These are the promises God gives you in holy baptism. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. And so, given the gifts, marked, claimed, sealed, you are sent. Show and share the good news of God in Jesus Christ in whatever way you can, to whomever you can, however you can. Let your light so shine before others. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.